Long time no yap.
Did you practice that?
I didn't practice it, but I did write it in my script.
It tickled me. It really did.
I thought it was funny.
It was.
As you may have noticed, we have not uploading as regularly. A lot has happened, you guys.
It's been a chaotic year, and yeah. I would like to personally say that whichever one of you are praying for our downfall.
Literally?
I don't know.
Eat a dick.
Yeah. If you... The haters don't want to see us succeed.
They really don't.
So,
they really don't. Yeah, because I don't know what's been going on, but whoever it is needs to knock it off.
There's been injury. There's been illness.
Yeah, we got... As you guys may have remembered, we were... I was sick last week, and then Sabrina got a little sick. Mm-hmm. And then I fractured my fucking leg, and then my cat passed away.
Rest in peace, Herb.
Precious Herb unexpectedly had to get put down. And then, so I've been in bed for a month because I can't walk. And then Sabrina got a little sick, and then now we're back.
Yeah, and we're chomping at the bit.
And yeah, we're excited as hell. Yeah, this was not voluntary. This little hiatus wasn't, we weren't like, let's just stop for a little bit. This was not planned or anything. A lot's been going on. So we appreciate your patience and we're happy to be back.
Also, props to Raina for drawing the cutest little icon yes. of us for the new season while all that was happening.
And I had a lot of free time and I thought we needed a new look.
And they were so right.
I was so right, and we look so cute. I love it. I already have ideas for new like advertising things or like possible merch, so
love that.
If you guys think that we should start a Patreon, find a way to let us know. You guys are not very good at interacting with us.
Yeah,
so if you guys want to get better at that would be cool.
Patreon,
if not,
OnlyFans, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you
tell us what you want.
Yeah, tell us what you want and maybe we'll give it to you. Anyway,
I have a little funny tidbit from today.
Oh, yeah?
That I haven't told you yet.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to therapy today because Ooh. Going to therapy is good for you guys.
Yay.
My therapist is subletting a room in, like, a building with a lot of, like, different therapists in it.
Cool.
While their new office is being built.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And the first time I went, this is only the second time I've been. First time I went there, I, like, walked in at the same time she was walking in, so we, like, walked up together, and I didn't really, like, look around.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, I was walking in by myself, and immediately, I was like, this place is haunted.
Oh, whoa.
Like, I was just like, 100% this place is haunted.
Whoa.
And when I got into her room, the first thing I said to her was, so do you think this place is haunted? And she goes, it's funny you say that, because this building used to be a hospital.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. And she said that the therapists that night, like the night before, were taking a tour of the building and went down to the basement. And she said it looked like it was straight out of Horror Story.
Whoa.
There was still medical equipment. And apparently the morgue used to be down there.
Ew. But also cool.
But also cool. But like, I could tell.
That's crazy. Woof. Well, that must be a weird place to have therapy.
It kind of is.
Yeah, I would think so.
Her room is nice and cheery, though.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than all of that, I don't believe we have any new updates.
Nope.
So I guess we'll just jump right in. My story is pretty crazy. Everybody get fucking ready. Maybe have something packed and ready to go because you might need it. Not gonna lie.
All of Raina's hints have been a little horrific.
Yeah, it's because it's... Oof. Sabrina was worried that we maybe had the same one and I just kind of giggled when she asked me, because I was like, no, we don't. I was like, we definitely do not. I'm hoping you haven't heard of this. Well, not necessarily hoping. I feel like that's like the wrong thing to say because it's pretty tragic. Mm. But I just, this case is crazy. So I'm going to get a bowl ready, actually, in case you need it while we're doing. Or actually, you have the pen. So yeah, we're good. Okay.
I got the Benjamin.
Okay. Okay. Ooh, I like have Ooh. The first episode jitters or something. Ooh. So today I'm going to tell you about a woman named Lacey Fletcher.
Never heard of her.
Okay.
I always feel so happy when I can say that to you.
It tickles me to know that I'm the first to give you this information, because, like, as a neurodivergent, I love info dumping, obviously. And I love info dumping new info.
Yes.
It's my absolute favorite thing. Like I said, I'm going to talk about Lacey Fletcher today. She lived in Slaughter, Louisiana with her parents.
Oh, Sheila. What a name. We're off to a strong start.
I know. I thought it was strange when I first read that. I was like, is that correct? It is correct. She lived in Slaughter, Louisiana with her parents, Sheila and Clay Fletcher, who were both 64.
Ew.
So the Fletchers moved into their neat two-story home on a gravel cul-de-sac around 27 years ago. Well, maybe 29, because the article I got this information from was written 2 years ago. Oh, so, okay. 29 years ago.
Okay.
Where Lacey, who was 9 at the time, started to make friends with children who lived on the same road, and the couple regularly attended a Baptist church in nearby Zachary, and the whole family would go to church, and she was on the volleyball team, and she's a normal kid. However, the last time anyone allegedly saw Lacey in public was when she was 21. And before that, no one outside of her neighbor saw her since she was maybe 14 or 15. Whoa. Because she got homeschooled after 9th grade.
Okay.
She had been diagnosed with autism, a form of Asperger's, and didn't have the same interests as typical teenagers, and she wasn't able to keep up with neurotypical teaching styles, so they pulled her out and started to homeschool her.
Okay.
Yeah, so after, like, neighbors saw her, and after, like, she was pulled out of school, no one had seen Lacey for about 15 years, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
So, nobody had seen her until she was found dead in her parents' home at the age of 36.
Whoa.
In fact, according to friends and colleagues, most say they didn't even know the Fletchers had a daughter.
Oh, my God.
So, some of the story gets especially wild when you consider that Sheila Fletcher, her mother, worked for authorities who might have been able to possibly prevent what even happened. She was a police and court clerk in a small nearby city of Baker, and most recently, at the point of this article, so like 4-ish years ago, was an assistant to the city prosecutor in Zachary, a little bit of a larger community, but that it was like also nearby. The mom was also on Slaughter's board of aldermen, but quit on January 24th of, I think, like 2018 or 2019, but I couldn't find an exact date. Clay Fletcher, is an officer of a nonprofit Baton Rouge Civil War roundtable. I don't know what that means. Their mission is to, quote, educate and foster an appreciation for the sacrifices made by all during the Civil War.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't really know what that means.
I hope it doesn't mean what I think it means.
Yeah, I hope so too. But it was Louisiana, so maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it means.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But before getting into more details, I'm going to throw out a content warning now. This is an incredibly sad and extremely graphic and gross story. So if you have a sensitivity to this kind of content, you can skip forward to Sabrina's story. I'll put in the description the timestamp of when I stop talking about my story. So if you want to just completely skip it, go for it. Anyway, so Lacey was last seen by her neighbor, Robert, who was 59. and she was exercising outside of her house. He said at the time she looked pretty physically normal and she was just working out in the yard with small weights.
This is when she was 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's said by neighbors that up until the age of 14, she was, quote, just a fun, normal kid. And then around the around that age, she started, like, heavily isolating herself. Robert's son, the neighbor that saw her outside, went to school with Lacey before she got pulled out for homeschooling.
What was that?
She's snoring.
Oh.
So he said this quote. He said, I saw her around 15 years ago, like my dad. I wouldn't say I was a particular friend. She'd hang out with my younger brother sometimes, but she was definitely different from other kids her age. I knew she was not your typical teenager. Oh my God, stop snoring.
She sounds like Chewbacca.
I know. She was smart. She was smart as hell. But I guess the best way to put it is that she wasn't as mature as us. She still liked children things, not teenage things. And he added, when she was 17 or 18, she was more into Disney movies and country music. She did invite us over to watch Disney movies, despite being more withdrawn. And at some point within the 12 to 15 years that no one had seen her, she sat herself on her couch. And essentially, what her parents are saying is that she refused to leave the couch. So she started isolating herself. And I guess just, like, decided to defiantly just stay in one spot is what her parents are making it sound like. So they let her live her life stuck on the couch. And she allegedly didn't leave the couch for about 12 years.
Whoa.
She did everything on that couch. And I mean everything. She did not leave the couch.
So, like, diapers and...
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the only info we have about her condition up until her death is from her parents.
Okay.
So.
Not reliable.
Yeah, not super reliable information. It's unclear what exactly Lacey could have suffered from to cause her to never leave the couch. They're saying it was locked-in syndrome. A condition where a person is, like, fully aware but unable to move or speak. So essentially, like, she was immobile and mute. But a lot of conflicting opinions are surrounded around that because even if that was the case, the family could have gotten her caregivers or help.
Right.
Instead of just letting her sit in her own excrement.
Oh my God.
For 12 years.
That's absolutely horrific.
She was sat in an upright position in the middle of the couch with, like, her legs crossed under her. And that's where she died.
Oh, my God.
And in that same position. Because once you're in a position for so long, your muscles start to deteriorate.
Right.
Your body starts to just not function at that point.
And I'm sure she had bed sores.
Yeah.
And...
Ugh. So, like I said, Lacey was discovered on January 3rd of 2022, and on that day, her mother called 911 and told them that she had stopped breathing. Coroner Dr. Ewell Bickham was immediately called to the scene, and it was speculated that Sheila Fletcher might have been forced to make that call. Allegedly, there was a neighbor there. They don't know who it was, but they had supposedly seen Lacey on the couch like that and told the parents they had to call the police.
Oh my God.
So obviously, after arriving at the scene, they decided to charge the parents for a homicide. Because at this point, Lacey's body is at such a point of decay.
Ugh.
And there's, like, no reasonable explanation for, like, why she was sitting there for so long.
Right.
So obviously something was up. The photos of her body have not been released to the public yet.
Thank God.
There is a photo of the couch.
Mm.
It is pretty awful.
Ugh.
I don't have to show it to you if you don't want to see it.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I don't think I want to.
There are explanations, though, and I am going to read them.
Are you going to tell us how long they think she had been deceased for?
I don't think that info.
Okay.
I don't think I have that info, no.
Just curious.
Yeah. That's a good question. It's kind of hard to say because when you sit in your own feces and urine and sweat and whatever for 12 years in one position, your body starts to deteriorate and decompose and all that stuff. So there's she was essentially slowly dying for a long time. So there's really no way to know. There's really, there are, like, I explain after the photos what she essentially died from, but there's really no way to tell when it started.
That's horrific.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. So like, this is, like I said, like, your final content warning. It is about to get extremely graphic. So, can you guys stop fighting right now? This is not the time.
The girls are fighting.
So, I will give you a description of what they, what the photos show.
Okay.
So, Lacey appears almost buried up to her shoulders in a wide, deep hole in the sofa that her bony body has worn over the years, rubbing away the cushioning. So essentially, she has sunk into the couch. She is slumped over on her left side with her right arm across the top half of her body near her neck. She's naked, apart from like a small t-shirt, which is pulled up on her chest and does not like cover her chest at all.
What?
So it's like pulled up almost like it was going to be taken off. But it was just left up at the top. Her eyes were wide open.
Oh, my God.
Her mouth was open. But she had, like, a full set of teeth. Her legs are pulled up and crossed underneath her. And her face is covered in, like, angry, large red blotches. Excrement is smeared almost half of her body. It's like matted in her hair. It's inside her ears.
Mm.
There are maggots and insect bites all over her body. The brown leather sofa that served as her prison is alongside a wall with a gap of about 18 inches. To the right of the couch is a gray Komodo and a neat pile of clothes, almost like they set them out for her to put on, but like she literally couldn't move. And to the front, only a few feet away, is a cluttered low black table, and it's got lotion bottles, some talcum powder, a pack of wipes, a nasal spray, and a box with a lid that had a child's photo on it, and other items that make it appear that the Fletchers definitely had the resources to clean her and they just didn't. Between the sofa and table are two neatly stacked boxes of DVDs. They've been there for so long that you can't discern the titles. And from the photos themselves, it's just, like, not a focus. But some appear to be childlike from the covers. Some sad photos taken of Lacey later on a physician's steel table for forensic examination further reveal the extent of her, harrowing and so far unexplained ordeal. She weighed just 96 pounds when she was discovered. Close-ups show what was happening to the bottom half of her body, like being sunken into the couch. There's like a lot of like yellow raw skin all over her body. It's like started, part of her body has started basically like being eaten away and like rotting, so it's like really hard to discern exactly like what's happening. Part of a video taken was also some of the awfulness. There's like a large wet patch on the floor directly behind the couch, which they believe is urine. The cause of death stemmed from severe medical neglect, which led to chronic malnutrition, acute starvation, immobility, acute ulcer formation, osteomyelitis. I don't know how to say that. but it's a bone infection. And then that all finally led to sepsis.
Oh my God.
So she essentially finally died of sepsis. On Tuesday, February 20th, 2022, Clay and Sheila Fletcher were booked on manslaughter charges. And they both got arrested and they both get a $300,000 bail put on them. They both make bail and leave essentially the next day. A sentence hearing is set for March 20th next month. So there will be an update to come. There is, like I said, a lot of speculation surrounding the fact that it was locked-in syndrome. A lot of people think that it could be maybe... a lot of people are really confused because a lot of the things that it could be wouldn't last this long. Like, it wouldn't be 12 years.
Yeah.
Some people are saying it's autistic burnout or a form of psychosis that, like, schizophrenic people experience.
Yeah, it's called, like, a catatonic fugue.
Yeah. But, again, it wouldn't last that long. And why would they not help her?
Yeah, that is absolutely fucking terrifying.
There's a lot of people suggesting that maybe their parents just suffered from burnout, essentially, because they were working full-time and caregiving full-time and just couldn't take care of her anymore. But the thing is the couch was in the living room.
Yeah.
She was sitting in the middle of the entire house.
Right.
Rotting away in the middle of the living room for 12 years.
So... was she eating and drinking? Because how was she able to survive that long?
She was eating and drinking for a little while.
Mm, okay.
But she couldn't move, so she had to have been fed.
Right.
I don't really know how she did eat or drink. I don't know if she really did. There is evidence to suggest that she wasn't on the couch for a full 12 years. That maybe she did get up and, like, walk around a little bit, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to a certain point where her body just started to just give out and not let her walk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's also just, like, a lot of confusion around the fact that nobody went over to their house for 12 years. Like, nobody had come to pay a visit in 12 years.
Yeah.
There were some people who didn't even know they had a daughter. Like...
and that they let somebody in the house and they just, like, thought that was normal.
Yeah.
Like, they had no concept of how fucked up that was for somebody else to see.
Yeah. Like, it... and we don't know if they, like, let them in or if maybe a neighbor was, like, something suspicious and, like, broken or something or forced themselves in or whatever, you know? But yeah. At the same time, these people went to church every week. These people went to work every day. And nobody thought something was up.
Right.
Nobody suspected anything. Nobody was like, where's your daughter? Although at that point, she's 36 years old. They probably thought she moved away and was living her life.
Wow.
But it's a really weird case. I'm interested to see what comes out in the hearing.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of questions answered. Again, this happened in 2022. And they're only just starting to circulate news about it. I had to pick through so many Reddit posts, so many dead end articles that had like two paragraphs. I tried, like, it was so hard to get information on this case because it's somehow so recent, even though it happened 2 years ago.
Popcorn? Well, you know, it takes time for them to investigate.
Yeah. But
get all the evidence before they release it out.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out what the parents are thinking, if they're mentally competent, yeah, or if like they're also in a form of delusion. Because I don't comprehend how you could live in that,
right?
Like how you could be fine waking up in the morning and that being in your living room before you go to work. How did you not stink?
Right.
How did the smell not carry into everything you own? How did nobody notice that you smell like rotting flesh? Like, what?
Yeah.
There's so many weird... I feel like the whole town was in on it or something. Like, there's no way nobody noticed.
Yeah, I fully agree.
I just don't understand. It's so, I
mean, the neighbor kid knew she was there, right?
I think the neighbor knew that she was there. I read something that said, like, when he asked about it, the father just kind of, like, brushed it off and was like, oh, no, she's in there. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, you know, left it at that. And he was like, I mean, I had no reason to question exactly what was going on, so I just didn't really push it further.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, like, they weren't, like, close with the neighbors or anything. It's not like they were family and were like, why can't I see my cousin or something like that?
Right.
Which, why didn't any of the other family do that?
Good point.
Like, it's just so, I don't know, it's so confusing. Because apparently they were pillars in their community. And, like, people who are pillars in their community are kind of under a microscope. So how did you get away with that for 12 years?
Yeah.
It's just very interesting, very sad. I hope Lacey Fletcher gets justice and her parents rot in prison and hell.
Yes.
Because, holy shit.
Oh my god, you aren't kidding. Like, my stomach is upset.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably one of the hardest stories I've ever come across when doing this type of research. And I've been, like, researching true crime since, like, 2018. And, like, this is, like, the first story where I had to, like, stop reading it for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you at all. Yeesh.
It's a lot. And I saw the photos of the couch, and it's, like, she essentially melted into it. Like, it's just,
oh,
it's so hard to understand how they were just fine with that being in the middle of their house. Like, I don't understand. It's very sad.
It is so, so sad.
Very scary that people like that can be pillars in our community and have places of position like that.
Right.
Or positions of power like that. Yeah, it's really crazy.
We never know what's going on inside other people's homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really confusing how the whole neighborhood didn't smell it. Like, how would that not travel? I just don't understand how they hid that. But
especially in Louisiana heat.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is the sad, horrible, tragic story of Lacey Fletcher. If you or anyone you know is autistic and needs caregivers or help, there might be resources available. I'm going to dedicate some time to research that for you guys, actually. Because cool. This is sad. Because, I mean, obviously, this isn't, like, the first time that a person with autism or a person with any sort of neurodivergency has gotten neglected in care and died because of it.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Absolutely.
The amount of coverage for the handicap in this country is crazy. And the amount of help for the handicap in this country is crazy. And so, yeah, if you know somebody who might need help, just if you see something, say something.
True that.
But, yeah, so I will have an update sometime in March or sometime after March 20th.
Wow. Well, so, I think we should pack that break. Emotional support bowl.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. Let's take a little break.
Yeah. Heavy.
Let's garden for a moment.
Yeah. Well, I think that cats think that we are big, dumb, hairless cats who are no good at providing for ourselves, which is why they, like, want to bring us food.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so bad at hunting.
Yeah.
And we're not stealthy. So I think all cats just think we're idiots.
I don't know if she thinks that, though.
I don't think that she has thoughts.
That's fair. So my next, I have this weird obsession right now with getting stupid tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already told everybody I'm getting the Baja Blast.
Right.
In a metal font.
Right.
I'm also, Doe at my shop made a Twilight sheet.
Shut up.
And I'm not getting the full piece, but in my mind, it's still a Twilight tattoo. So it is. So they drew a picture of Edward holding their nose.
Oh, yeah.
And underneath it, in a funny font, not like a funny font. It's almost a metal font, but not like quite as messy. It just says stinky.
I know which one you're talking about.
I'm going to get that tattooed on the back of my elbow so that when I'm standing there, it just says stinky.
I've seen that on the Twilight shitposting page, but I didn't realize that was someone local that, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I got to go back and look at it because do I need one too?
Their Instagram is doe.bull.
D-O-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
D-O-E dot B-U-L-L. And then I'm scheduled with Kaya towards the end of March to get, I have this meme that I've been obsessed with ever since I found it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it almost looks like it's a stress ball Kirby.
Okay.
And it's like squished in to make the head like flattened a little and the face all funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the top of it just says, I for gore. And so I'm going to get that tattooed too. Because why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not? Love that.
So every time I'm going to get it like right here. And every time I look down right here, it's just going to be like, I for gore.
Obsessed with that.
Because it's silly and fun.
It is silly and fun. Oh. Eddie's calling back.
Oh. He's going to see the microphone.
Hey. What's going? I'm just at my friend's house. What's up with you?
Nothing. I started work on Monday. I bought a truck. And I looked at two places, but the people creep me out a little bit. And I'll keep looking tomorrow. I'm gonna take the truck.
Nice. What's your new job?
Phone sales again. I'm good at it, I think. Selling insurance to the old dying people. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it's a Dodge Durango.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to go to junkyard and pull some plates out of some other little car. Strap them on there. It's all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't be caught riding dirty.
Even if I wasn't trying to ride dirty, I'd be dirty. Yeah. So I can't get pulled over. I was going to get a bike, but who gave you flowers? Your friend?
No, my boyfriend.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good. Is that who you're hanging out with? Come on, say hi.
No, I'm just hanging out with my friend right now.
Yeah, I miss the kids and all, but fuck that. Hey, man. Hello. All right, well, I'll talk to you later.
All right, love you.
All right, love you too. All right, bye.
Bye.
You called it. You're like, he just wants to brag.
Yeah. He's selling insurance to dying old people and stealing dirty plates. So that's typical Eddie behavior.
And it was better than sleeping in the woods and not making money.
Yeah, my dad has been sleeping in a tent in the woods for the past, like, few months. And, hey, now he's living the American dream. He's in Florida. So dreams do come true.
I feel like it's such a real thing for him to have gone to Florida, gotten a job, gotten a car, looking for a place. Like, I feel like that's such a thing that so many people do. As soon, like, they somehow have no debt all of a sudden, and they can, like, get a car and get a house. And it's
right, because,
like,
Florida doesn't care.
No, that's true.
They're like, yeah, we'll take your money.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like, we'll take it for the rest of your life. Yeah.
All right. Sure. Well, should we get started on my story for the people who skipped a lot of that unpleasantness?
Yeah, we shall. Why not?
Let's do it. Why not?
All right.
So I did not.
Got the zoomies.
Yes. She is speed.
Yeah, she's got big zoomies right now.
Big zoomies, little head. So I did not give Raina any hints, but I'm going to be doing a gangster story. So do you want to take a guess? Gangsters?
Gangsters. Like, old time gangsters or like Bloods and Crips?
Old time.
Old time. I don't know any gangster families.
No?
No. I'm not very knowledgeable on gangster families.
I'll be honest, I had never heard of this one before.
Okay.
They're called the Cray Twins.
The Cray Twins.
Yeah, K-R-A-Y. Cray. Mm-hmm. Ronald, a.k.a. Ronnie.
Ronnie Cray.
Uh-huh. And
Ronnie Cray.
And Reginald, a.k.a. Reggie.
Reggie Cray.
Yup. We're born October 24th, 1933 in London. With London. Reggie being 10 minutes older than Ronnie.
Oh, that's an important fact, it I
is.
Feel.
It is. This is a British mob story.
Whoa, I didn't even know the British had mob.
Yeah, it's very Peaky Blinders, isn't it? Don't cancel me.
For mimicking British.
Their father was a traveling salesman who, like, from what I read, like, sold junk. Like, would go to places, like, buy junk and sell it elsewhere.
I had a friend. I think I was in college at this point. My dear, dear friend, Eva, love her so much. She's the person I did my first ever podcast with.
Oh, fun.
She got, like, sucked into that, like, traveling knife salesman. Pyramid. And when they went to the first interview, I was sitting there and I, like, in my head, I was like, this sounds like a scam. I'm like, this sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
I don't know. She ended up obviously not continuing with it, but she did get sucked in for a little while and it was interesting to see in real time.
I had a door-to-door vacuum salesman weasel his way into my home to try to sell me a $2,000 vacuum for my singular 8x10 rug in my mobile home. Yeah, right. Get out of here. Anyways, when their father was around, he was pretty much always drunk in a pub. So their mom, yeah. So their mom raised them most of the time. Their mother, Violet, she adored her sons.
Cute.
But they were all kind of well known in their small, their small community. They were pretty poor, working class, but they were kind of local celebrities because it was so rare for people in those conditions to deliver healthy twins to birth and have them both live.
Oh.
So it was like kind of like shocking that this happened. And so they were like the golden children.
What year was it?
They were born in 1933.
Yeah. Okay. So then, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And they were like, you know, working class, East London.
Yeah. London, even working class, is still super, super poor, honestly.
Yeah. During World War II, their father deserted the army and lived as a fugitive.
Oh.
Yeah. While Violet and the kids evacuated to the countryside for a year before returning to London. And they actually really liked it. They were like, oh, this is cool. We've never been outside of the city before.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah. As teenagers, both twins took up boxing because their maternal grandfather was Jimmy Cannonball Lee.
Whoa.
An amateur boxer.
Cannonball. Mm-hmm. Amateur Cannonball.
Yeah, they were both pretty good. Oh. It said that Reggie was, like, the smarter one and, like, a little bit more, like, strategic, but Ronnie was just, like, always down to fight and, like, bash heads in.
So were they, like, Jake and Logan Paul?
I am not familiar. Like, I know who they are, but never, like, watched. So no,
I mean, I never watched their stuff, but I remember them getting canceled, and now one of them is a boxer or an MMA fighter.
Interesting. Yeah. So was Eddie.
Look at everything coming full circle.
Yep.
It all leads back to fighting.
In March 1952, both Ronnie and Reggie were drafted to the British Army. They call it being conscripted, but I'm just going to say drafted because that's what we're familiar with.
That's
here.
What us Americans say.
Yeah. After reporting to the, like, military depot at the Tower of London, they attempted to leave after only a couple minutes, and Ronnie punched a corporal in the jaw when he tried to stop them. They walked out, went home, and then were arrested the next day and brought back to the military.
Yeah.
So this is in March, right? In September, they were AWOL again.
Oh my god.
Which means away without leave. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And they assaulted an officer trying to arrest them and were eventually sent to, like, a military jail in Canterbury, Kent.
Canterbury, Kent.
Both of the twins were dishonorably discharged.
Yeah.
And sent to a civilian prison because they were just, like, raising so much hell at the military prison that they were like, we can't have you here. Get the fuck out.
Oh, my God.
They emptied a latrine on a sergeant.
Oh, my God.
They poured hot tea on another one. They handcuffed a guard to the prison bars with handcuffs that they stole. They set their bed on fire.
Oh, my God. Boy's going crazy.
Yeah. The psychologist who examined Ronnie in jail reported that he was, in quotation marks, educationally subnormal, psychopathic, schizophrenic, and insane.
Oh, my God. Saturdays are for the boys. Saturdays are for the lads. For the mates.
They're having a little cheeky Nando's. So once they got out of jail, they kind of started making a name for themselves locally with small crimes like armed robbery and theft. And they opened a nightclub to get into legitimate business.
Okay.
They used their proceeds from the nightclub to invest more into the crime. And soon they were participating in protection rackets, arson, and black market goods like cigarettes. They opened more and more nightclubs in the city and donated to charity to look like respectable businessmen.
Were they speakeasies or were they nightclubs?
Although they were nightclubs.
Guess, yeah, because that was only in America.
Prohibition. Yeah. They did not do prohibition there. This is in, like, Austin Powers Swingers 60s.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a wild time.
Ronnie's temper and violence ruined the facade that they were respectable businessmen, though. And he was sent to prison for 3 years for stabbing someone with a bayonet in 1956. Oh, where the fuck he got a bayonet? Who knows?
The military. I think they used bayonets.
Still in the 50s? It's yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, in the 50s. I have. I don't know how accurate it is, but I play a game that's set in, like, it's like non-fictionally set in, like, a similar, what is it, like, 60s, 70s, England.
Oh.
And their military only has bayonets.
Interesting.
So I don't know how accurate it is, but I think they definitely did still use bayonets.
Hmm. While Ronnie was in jail, or in prison, Reggie opened their most famous club, the Double R, and established their gang, which they called the Firm. Ronnie, however, was not having a good time in prison. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Oh.
And they had to, like, sedate him and calm him down and, like they sent him to a mental facility.
Dang.
And then once he was, like, cool and chill, they sent him back to prison.
What did the Double R stand for?
Reggie and Ronnie.
I thought maybe they would have been a little more original than that.
So once Ronnie got out of prison, he was, like, even more unhinged from that whole experience.
Trauma.
Yeah. But they were pretty successful. They were kind of, like, celebrities in London. Ronnie was in a number of, like, kind of situationships with prominent gay men.
Oh.
Including actors, politicians, businessmen.
Whoa. Good for him.
Yeah. Reggie, also bisexual.
Period.
But he had more of, like, an interest in women. And he eventually ended up marrying the sister of one of the other gang members named Frances Shea.
Keep it in the family.
Yep. The twins had aspirations. Oh. Before I move on from them from their sexuality, at one point Scotland Yard was, like, investigating Ronnie because he was so close with a member of the Conservative Party, and there was a newspaper that was going to run a story on it, and the politician, like, basically was like, "Yo, you are not going to run that story. Yeah,
of course not.
And they backed out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're gay. And he's like, if you run that story, I swear to God.
Me and my boyfriend will fucking kill you, man.
Have you seen that TikTok trend going around where the girl will set up the camera and then be like, if you want to get to him, you're going to have to get through me. And then they kiss their unsuspecting boyfriend, has no idea what's going on. And then they go, because he's the best brother ever.
No, and all I the have
guys,
not seen
all the
that.
Guys are like, whoa.
That's funny. No, I've never seen that. So they really wanted to turn their just like little local thing into an empire, like,
period.
They wanted a mafia like the New York mafia.
Oh my God.
So they were in talks with them.
Ooh.
They were whispering, they were telling secrets, they were getting advice.
Wow.
And eventually they started fighting with a rival gang called the Richardson gang, because they wanted to control like the whole area.
Reggie and Ronnie and Richardson.
Yes, it's so many R's. In 1966, Ronnie walked into a club and shot a man that was accused of killing a firm member. Just straight up shot him in the head in front of a bunch of people. So he gets picked up by the police, and not a single person snitches.
Period.
Everybody in that club was like, I didn't see nothing.
Oh my God, period.
So Ronnie just like got let go. And then in 1967, after being married for only like 2 years, Reggie's wife committed suicide.
Oh no.
Yeah, she was like, Reggie would come home drunk every night and verbally abusing her.
Oh my God.
She said she wanted to get their marriage annulled because it was never consummated, which is interesting.
Huh.
Especially since they were both like bisexual, supposedly, allegedly. Huh. But she just was like, couldn't take it anymore, and she ended up committing suicide.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I take back that little giggle I had at the beginning of that at the beginning of that little tidbit.
And this like really set Reggie off. So like a few months later, Reggie murdered a member of the firm named Jack the Hat McVitie. I know.
I'm Jack the Hat.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, they were English, so I'm Jack the Hat. McVitie, you got a problem with me?
So Jack did not kill a former associate that Reggie wanted him to kill. So he killed Jack the Hat.
I mean, I feel like that's just business in that line of work.
Yeah, it's business. And his body was never found.
Oh, my God.
So, finally, like, they're just being too loud with everything, you know? The police can't let it slide anymore.
You gotta
even
make
though
moves
they're
in
scared.
Silence. Yeah.
Yeah. They had to step up to the plate. So, on May 8th, 1968, the police finally arrested the twins at their mother's house, and they were convicted to life in prison for the murders of those two men, the one Ronnie shot in the club and then Jack the Hat. They were in prison for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
They still ran like a business out of prison.
I mean, hey, a king's got to get his bag, I guess.
Exactly. They were like providing bodyguards for famous people.
And honestly, if they were bisexual in prison,
right?
And they still had a business, they probably were not.
They were running that shit.
Yeah, they probably were not doing too bad.
Apparently, Frank Sinatra was one of their clients. He got his bodyguards from Reggie and Ronnie.
Oh my God, Frankie.
Yeah. Ronnie died of a heart attack in 1995 at the age of 61.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2000, Reggie was released on compassionate leave because he was sick with cancer. So he would have been 66. And he died within weeks of his release.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he made it to 2000. That's a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm. So that is the story of Reggie and Ronnie Cray Cray.
Reggie and Ronnie Cray Cray. Ow. You're just going to pop a squat right there, huh? Right on top of my hand and the laptop and everything.
In the, like, worst spot possible.
She just wants to look at me.
Yeah.
Oh. So we want to do a little protection spell because some fuck shit has been happening and we're about to get a full moon in Virgo.
Very nice.
On Saturday. Which, this might be posted by Saturday because I don't work tomorrow.
Cool.
So,
you know, it's funny, last night I was like, the moon's getting pretty full. It's almost there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know, I don't have anything to do Saturday. I think I'm going to do some mushrooms and have, like, a self-exploration trip.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, that's cool.
I
didn't know it was a full moon in Virgo.
The universe did. They were like... And you were like, mushrooms on Saturday? Okay.
Cool. So, I was going to talk about how to do a protection ward. So, a ward is like an energy force field almost to protect you from like psychic attacks, intentional and non-intentional.
Yes.
And one of the ways to do that is pretty simple. You just need 4 pieces of black tourmaline, which is one of my favorite crystals. I have it on a little pendant that I wear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Black salt, rosemary. You could do some cloves.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, what you want to do is, and you can kind of like fit this to whatever your space is.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like a house, like you can bury one of the stones in like the north, south, east, and west corners the yard. If you're like in an apartment, you can put one on in the corners of your house or the corners of your room if you want it to be like your personal space.
Yeah.
But anyways, you just want to have it in like all 4 corners and you want to go counterclockwise to banish and kind of connect those 4 with your black salt, your rosemary, whatever herbs you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outside, you can let that stuff be outside.
Yeah.
If you're inside, you can put it like along your windows. If you do your floors, you can then like sweep it back up. Sweeping salt is a great way to like cleanse your space of any negativity. And oh my goodness. Dog upstairs is so happy right now. Oh, to be a
Joey's
little dog.
Super happy right now.
Oh, to be a little dog just having the zoomies.
A spoiled little dog.
Too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Joey's gonna run around for a second. Joey will sometimes just like run back and forth.
So cute. But yeah, rinsing your floors with salt and sweeping it up, a great way to like just kind of stir up stagnant energy and like refresh everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your moon water and do sigils on the doors and windows and just things like that that will, like, basically give you your bubble.
Mm-hmm. You can also do sigils while you smudge. Like, when you're doing smudging with the smoke, you can make formations of sigils. I've always found that's really nice to do. I prefer Palo Santo over sage. Sage, for me, is just too heavy energetically. It's, like, suffocating to me.
It's a lot. It's because you're the demon.
Probably. So I'll usually make little sigils, and you can make up your own sigils.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah.
If you have a shape that you for some reason feel like you've always been really drawn to, or like a certain marking or whatever, you can, like, that's clearly something that's meant for you, so you should use it. So do that. I make my own sigils sometimes just for funsies.
Yeah, and I think the more personal you make things, like, the harder they are to, like, get past.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the more intrinsic they are to you.
Yeah.
And your energy.
And you can make your own grimoire with your own sigils and then pass it down to generations. It would be cute.
So cute. I have one that I write stuff in. I haven't in a while, so I need to.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, I have a manifestation book with a bunch of numeric codes in them.
Nice.
That I got from a friend that I probably should use, but I also don't. But yeah, so That was our little comeback.
Yeah.
Hi.
It felt good.
It did feel good. I missed it. I guess if you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, or anything like that, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. If you want to see a close-up picture, if you want to like be able to zoom and see all the details on our brand new, super cute, retro style logo,
which Raina even put our tattoos into,
you can go follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast, and then I don't know. I guess I think that's it. And just always remember to light up
and look out.
And we love you.
And thanks for yapping with us.
Yap you later.